As we gather around the Lord's table today, we hear the words of Scripture. Paul writes to his friends in Corinth, in the church there, and he has some words to share with them about the sacred experience that we share together today. I invite you to follow along in your order of worship or in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're reading verses 16 and 17. So we hear these words today, I invite you to think about and to reflect upon the meaning of this table that we gather around in worship this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 16. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. Well, communion services are intended to be meaningful, significant experiences of worship. But, of course, there are times in the life of the church when the unexpected or the unusual happens. I was reading this week about some communion services that some things happened that were unexpected. One communion service, they were passing out the elements being distributed, and just as the cracker tray was making its way down the aisle, in the silence of that moment, everyone in the church heard 6-year-old Abby say, "Mommy, I want a biscuit, not a cracker." At another church, a young boy was standing on the pew as they were sharing the bread, and he took the cracker and he ate it, and then he said very loudly, "Daddy, my Jesus was stale." Well, it's not always children. When an adult tells about an experience when, as they were about to partake of the cup, as the pastor prayed and then opened and invited everyone to share in the cup, she looked down to see a little hair bobbing in her cup. "Well, do you drink or not? What do you do?" Well, this person said the next time her church had communion, she was excited to have a very different experience. But this time she looked down and there was lipstick on the little cup she was about to share. I'm very thankful for our excellent communion committee here at our church. Well, thankfully, most of our experiences around this table are deeper, spiritual, enriching experiences. Most of the time, this table serves as a high point for us of worship. Unlike some Christian denominations, we as Baptists only share communion periodically, 6, maybe 7 times a year. So when we gather around this table, it is meaningful, it is significant, it is special for us. So this morning we come to the Lord's table. As we do so collectively, we share memories, we share reflections, we share past experiences and future anticipations about what this table means for us. In our spiritual lives, this table represents so much: sacrifice, salvation, the loving grace of God, the forgiveness of our sins. But this morning, there is one particular aspect that I want us to focus on in just a few minutes before we share communion together. It's one aspect of communion maybe sometimes we overlook. It is the aspect of fellowship. For much of our history as Baptists, some Baptists have shied away from using the term or the word communion to describe what it is that we do when we gather around this table. But I think it's important to realize the Apostle Paul did not shy away from this term, this word, fellowship, communion. It is a powerful word. In the Greek, the word for communion is a word that may be familiar to some of us. It is koinonia. That word literally means fellowship with. It means participation in, as we heard in our text this morning. It means sharing together. That is koinonia. And as we gather around this table, in fact, every time we gather around this table, koinonia happens. Fellowship happens. We share together the impact and the effect of Christ's broken body and his shed blood that results in our salvation. But we do it together. We share this experience together as a family, as a community, as Jessica and the children talked about, as a body of believers. Remember how Paul said it in our text for this morning. He said, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in, a koinonia, a fellowship in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in, a fellowship in, a koinonia in the body of Christ?" He says, "Because there is one loaf, we who are many become the same, for we all share one loaf. We are one body." We know Jesus' body was sacrificed once and for all on the cross that we might forever live abundantly with death defeated. Jesus' blood was shed on the cross for our forgiveness, to cleanse us from all the ways that we have broken our relationship with God. Within the life of the church, when we share this meal, when we gather around this table, the Bible is very clear. We become the body of Christ. As the body of Christ, there is a great sense of oneness, of unity, that happens when we gather around this table. We who are many become one. It doesn't mean that we all agree on everything. It doesn't mean we see things the same way. It doesn't mean we share the same opinions or perspectives, but it means that we see the big picture of life. We understand why Jesus came and what it means for us as Christians. We have a common cause and purpose in this world. We become one in Christ. Paul wrote something very similar in his letter to the Christians in Ephesians. Listen to what he said in chapter 4. We actually sang these words earlier. "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all." Paul reminds us in Ephesians, he reminds us in Corinthians, he says to us, when we share communion with each other, we look past our differences. We no longer focus on the things that separate us in this world, that divide us and keep us from one another in love. We are one in Christ. We become a blessed fellowship. We've said it before, but we need to be reminded of this truth time and time again. There's something extraordinarily meaningful about eating and drinking together. Doing so invites us. It even creates for us an atmosphere of blessed fellowship. We see this in our personal lives all the time. One person invites another out for coffee and a pastry. Business people share a meal with coworkers or with clients. People gather after work for a drink together. Dating, married couples go out to enjoy a nice dinner. Friends and family gather together for fun evenings and special occasions. They get around the table together. We invite people into our homes to share food with each other. Here at church, we often get together and eat. That's the hallmark of being Baptist, right? We wouldn't know what to do with ourselves without a good casserole, let's be honest. That's what we do here at church. Families gather around the table at the end of the day to share their lives, to share their experiences. The table, eating, drinking, sharing together. It creates the opportunity for blessed fellowship. There's something special about eating and drinking together, something highly symbolic. It is a sacred, even intimate experience to share food and drink with someone else. When we eat together, we often find that blessed fellowship is created. Remember that the same is true in the Bible. When we read through the scriptures, we see the importance of eating together, of sharing a meal. Some of Jesus' most memorable teaching opportunities, where were they done? Often around a table, sharing a meal together. Jesus fed the multitudes. Jesus attended banquets and feasts. We know that his very first miracle was at a wedding banquet where Jesus turned water into wine. Later in his ministry, he multiplied a very small amount of food to feed thousands and thousands of people. We see it all through Jesus' life and ministry. We see it all through the Bible. In fact, at the very end of the Bible in Revelation, do you remember what the risen Christ says to us in Revelation? Listen to these powerful words from Christ in the final book of the Bible. You will remember these. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," listen to this, "I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." See, this table, every time we gather around this table, is an opportunity for fellowship. It is an opportunity for unity. It is an opportunity for sharing. It is an opportunity for communion. I want to say it this strongly this morning. We are never better at being the church. We are never more the church than when we gather around this table. This is the core of our faith. This is our oneness. This is our unity. We are never better. We are never more as a church than when we gather around the Lord's table. This table offers us deep and abiding connection with God and with one another. God is the host of this table. We are the guests. We are the children. We are the family. We are the recipients of God's loving grace and mercy. When we gather with our families at special times, holidays, special meals and occasions, we are reminded when we gather together in our own individual families, we're reminded of our bonds with each other, of our unity, of our togetherness. The exact same thing happens here at church. It happens around this table. Communion reminds us that God has always been a God of relationship, fellowship, and communion. I was just talking about Revelation at the end of the Bible. Let's go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible. Think about this. In Genesis, God easily could have abandoned Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve, in that one occasion, did the one thing God told them not to do. After they did that one sin, committed that one sin, God could have easily abandoned them. God could have given up on them because of their brokenness, because of the way they broke the relationship with God. God could have easily abandoned them, but that's not what happened. God didn't give up on them. In fact, God wanted communion. In fact, God wanted communion so much that God was the one who came looking for Adam and Eve. You remember in Genesis, it was God who came searching, seeking, looking for Adam and Eve. Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? It was a quest of love. It was a desire, a craving for communion. It was seeking blessed fellowship. Even Jesus said, as recorded in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." Three of Jesus' most well-known parables are about finding and saving, restoring community, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. Jesus was teaching that God is a God who seeks the lost. God craves communion. God loves you so much. God craves and desires to commune with you, to relate to you, to love you unconditionally. That's what we remember when we gather around this table. The words of the psalmist come to mind for me this morning. Listen to these words in Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you hear? God craves communion. Craves communion with us. God wants to commune with you. This morning, as we gather around God's table, know this truth. God is here. God is in this place. God's presence is symbolized by broken bread. It is symbolized by the fruit of the vine. God is here. But even more, this God, the God of the universe, the Almighty God, wants to commune with you. So as we approach this table, we do so realizing it is a symbol of our faith, a symbol of our fellowship with the risen Christ and with one another. So in just a moment, let us break bread together. Let us drink from the cup together. And most of all, may we find the presence of Christ that is in this place that will permeate our hearts and our lives. May this koinonia meal bind us to Christ and to one another as we both remember and proclaim Christ's death and resurrection. Because of the presence, love, and grace of Almighty God, we are indeed a blessed fellowship. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, as we gather around this table this morning, we are thankful for so many things. But especially today, Lord, we are grateful that you love us so much, you crave communion with us. Lord, calm our hearts, ease our minds, settle our spirits, that we may truly and completely focus on and commune with you. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.